warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's October 1st, 2013. George H.W. Bush is a witness, along with his wife Barbara, at a homosexual wedding in Maine. So we'll talk about that. That's not a surprise, right? Because the Bush administration was the first to honor homosexuals at the White House. And George W. Bush appointed a homosexual ambassador to, where's our friend from? Romania. And the country of Romania was in shock when they met their new American ambassador and his partner, and it was a guy. They were in shock. And so the Bush family has strongly promoted, you know, behind the scenes and in a subtle way, which makes them more effective, really, than Obama was, helping homosexuality go mainstream. And so the Bush family, anybody who's surprised that George H.W. Bush and his wife Barbara, who is a pro-abort, right? She's a hardcore pro-abort, along with all the Bush women, right? Barbara Bush and Laura Bush and what are the girl Bushes? Jenna Bush and... They're all the Bush women are child killers, and the Bush men are too. It's just they ran on a Republican platform, and so like George H.W. Bush, he was a pro-abort, and Ronald Reagan wanted him to run as his VP, so he said, well, I'll be pro-life. Hey, I'll be pro-life. If I get to be vice president, I'll be pro-life. And now... Sadly, Rick Perry's wife, you know, the governor of Texas, his wife came out and said that she believes that abortion is a woman's right and it's their decision. And so I want to actually look at how that came up when she was being interviewed and she was speaking to the Texas Tribune editor-in-chief. Evan Smith, and they were talking about Texas recent, you know, heartbeat legislation. And that's a great example of the warning that American Right to Life gives about abortion regulations. One of the side effects, the unintended side effects of abortion regulations is that they give cover to people who are actually pro-abortion. So if you have a principled, say, personhood bill, then people who are really pro-choice are not going to support it. But if you have child-killing regulations, then pro-aborts will often support child-killing regulations and give them political cover. But it turns out all along that they really, ultimately, they believe that you have a right to kill an unborn child. Because the child is not a person. So that's a tragedy. More interesting news, well, not more interesting, but in news that's not dripping with wickedness, NASA, this, I like this. I like technology. I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company in their simulation department. NASA is planning to launch a printer into space to the International Space Station. And why is that a big deal, right? Astronauts, they might want to use a printer. Well, this is a 3D printer. You know, a 3D printer, you could actually print three-dimensional objects. And this is so that astronauts can manufacture spare parts and tools in space. That's really exciting. I love when mankind uses the intellect that God gave us, and we are creative, and we can accomplish amazing things. I just love that. Imagine how neat it's going to be in heaven. In heaven where righteousness prevails. It's going to be just so wonderful. And human beings will be creative, just like God is eternally creative. We will be creative. We will be artists and authors and inventors and chefs. I'm going to look for the chefs in heaven. So it's going to be pretty neat to see what mankind accomplishes throughout eternity future with the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And why are there two? Why is there a new heaven and a new earth? We Christians are taught that we go to heaven. We do. So why is there a new earth? Well, we cover that in our plot, the overview of the whole Bible, the Bible rightly divided. Oh, and by the way, our telethon, our goal is $35,000. And you know, a lot of shows, they're on 300 stations, 1,200 stations. You know, a lot of these cheap throwaway eye roll radio shows are on 640 stations. Well, don't be fooled. We are on one station. One. AM 670 KLTT, 50,000 watts. So we're up to $15,650. $15,650 of our $35,000 goal. So please help if you can. And if you're interested in that question, why does God make a new heaven and a new earth when we, in the body of Christ, when we die, we go to be with the Lord? Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said that he was torn because, in one sense, he knew it was good for him to stay here on earth because there were people who needed him. But on the other hand, he wanted to go be with the Lord. That causes a little bit of a dilemma for Christians who believe in soul sleep, that when you die, you go into a stasis. And then you just stay there, and then everybody sees the Lord at the same time. And if that were true, certainly if Paul, the Apostle Paul, believed that, then he wouldn't have had any kind of quandary, because dying would not get him to the Lord any sooner. And then the Holy Spirit wouldn't have to put that confusion in the Bible, because the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So at any rate, it's for those who are interested in helping us stay on the air and meeting our telethon goal of $35,000, of course you could donate. That helps so much. Or you could subscribe to our monthly Bible studies, or you could order the plot, an overview of the whole Bible, and find out more about the new heavens and the new earth, and so many other wonderful topics out of the scriptures. Or in our monthly Bible study subscription, every month you'll get an entire Bible study album from us, and you can find out about these topics month by month as we go through topical studies and verse-by-verse studies of the Bible. We also have a monthly video subscription for our topical videos and our monthly DVD sermons and so on. And all these, if you let us know you're trying to help us reach our telethon goal, we'll apply that. So NASA's bringing a 3D printer to the International Space Station, and that's really cool, except, an astronaut will be able to make a gun. Well, that's a problem. Oh, but he'd need a firing pin, right? Well, they probably got one of those up there. So I don't think we could trust the astronauts with a 3D printer. Remember after 9/11, one of the pilots unions wanted to be armed so that they could protect themselves from hijackers and their whole aircraft. And the George W. Bush administration told them no, they would not support that effort. You know, how could you possibly trust a pilot with the lives of hundreds of people? How could you possibly do that? We could never do that, right? Also in the news, most men said they would not choose an iPhone over a girlfriend. But a pretty good percentage of men said they actually would choose an iPhone over a girlfriend. One guy said, of course I wouldn't leave my girlfriend for an iPhone. On the other hand, if it was a Samsung Galaxy 4, and then we have this account of a pastor, a so-called pastor, the Reverend Ken Klein Smeltzer. Ken Klein Smeltzer, do you think his middle name is Klein? Or is that, you know, when people get married and they can't decide which name they're going to use, and they use both the husband's name and the wife's name. Typically, that comes from a feminist worldview, a left-wing worldview. And so it's really mean to the kids, you know, because then the kids have to decide who are they going to honor, mom or dad. And they can't take both names, because if some kid whose parents gave them both names married some other person whose parents gave them both names, their kids would have four names. And then if that happened again, the kid would have eight last names and 16 and 32 and 64. Pretty soon you'd have more last names than you could store in a zip drive. So, you know, feminism is the ultimate insult against women, because it tells women that you're really not valuable unless you're like a man. And if you could compete with a man and do what a man can do, then you're valuable. And if you can't, you're not. And that's the ultimate insult to women. And the ultimate degrading of what it means to be a woman is to tell her she really doesn't cut it unless she's like a man. So anyway, this Reverend Ken Klein Smeltzer, he was sacked from his job, or defrocked, after performing a homosexual marriage. Increasingly, right, now he's a post-Christian minister. He's not a real minister, right? Remember, Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't even believe in life after death. They didn't even believe in the resurrection. And so they were sort of like United Methodists. The Pharisees, they believed in the Bible, they believed in the resurrection, they believed in life after death, and so they were sort of like fundamentalist Sunday school teachers, like me. So if there's a criticism that's more likely to be true against me, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, it would be much more likely that I would commit a sin like a Pharisee than a sin like a Sadducee, much more likely. And so we Christians who love the Lord, we have to be ready to admonish one another. I mean, you could watch Fox News where you'll have conservatives admonishing Barack Obama all day long. I mean, that's what we call, in when, say, Sean Hannity or Dennis Prager, these guys, Michael Medved, we call it eye roll radio. Did you know that Barack Obama is evil? Did you know that Obamacare, you know, when they say Obamacare, it's just not going to work. That's sort of beside the point. Obamacare should be opposed because it's evil, not whether it will work or not. I mean, you might be a bank robber and put food on the table. And so maybe it works, you know, for you, it works. You steal for a living. The question is not, does it work? The question is, does it honor God? Are you obeying God or disobeying God? And Obamacare, being a form of socialism, dishonors God. So at least the pastor was fired, right, for doing the homosexual marriage. Increasingly, you get a promotion if you do that. Then you have George H.W. Bush. You go from the pastor who was fired to the former president, George H.W. Bush, and his wife, Barbara, served as official witnesses Saturday at the wedding in Maine of Bonnie Clement and Helen Thorgelson. And they are the co-owners of the Kennebunk General Store. Remember Kennebunkport? Isn't that where the Bushes have some kind of complex? Kennebunkport, Maine, is that right? Same place, I guess. Kennebunk and Kennebunkport. This must be the town behind the port. And so I remember, if you haven't heard about George H.W. Bush's son, George W. Bush, and his conversion to Christianity, his political conversion, the role of Billy Graham in his conversion, you might want to go to our website, KGOV.com, and just search for the conversion of George W. Bush. And I think you'll you probably heard this account if you've listened to us for some time, but there's a professor of political science at Grove City College, and he has written these best-selling authoritative books, God and Ronald Reagan, and then God and George W. Bush. And so I interviewed Paul Kengor to get the straight scoop on George W. Bush's conversion, and it's a rather shocking and devastating account of a political conversion, because his father was doing terribly with evangelicals in his desire to get the Republican nomination. George H.W. Bush was asked by, you know, whether it was Tim LaHaye or James Dobson, I forget who it was, years ago, but at a meeting with the evangelical leaders, they asked George H.W. Bush, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And so, being a good conservative, he answered, well, I think that I'm a good person, and so I hope so, yeah. And I was like, wrong answer, right, for the evangelicals. They're like, what, if that's true, Jesus didn't have to die, because Jesus died so that we can go to heaven, and if all it took was for us to be good people, a good person, remember Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, then not my will, but thine be done. And so if there was another way, if you could get to heaven by being a good person, then the Father loves the Son, so the Son wouldn't have had to die. But Jesus Christ died for us so that we could be saved. And George H.W. Bush, he didn't know that. And so it didn't go well for him, but there was still time for him to get the endorsement of the evangelicals. So H.W. Bush selected his son, George W. Bush, to be his liaison to the evangelical leadership. And so they flew in Billy Graham to the Bush compound at Kennebunkport, Maine. Is that where it is? I guess that's where it is. That's where the wedding was. And so George W. Bush walked along the shore there with Billy Graham, and he became a Christian. And if you go to our website, kgov.com, and you just put Bush conversion in our search, just Bush conversion. Or if you forget the name of our website, just do Enyart and Bush conversion. You'll find, Google can find it, right? And so then we provide excerpts from taped phone conversations between a longtime family friend, Bush family friend, and George W. Bush. And this family friend was training Bush on how to talk to evangelicals. And part of the conversation, George W. Bush says, he said, and he's speaking with Doug Weed, who's a former Assemblies of God minister, and he was an aide to George H.W. Bush and a family friend. And so he says to Doug Weed, he says, well, Doug, as you said, there are some code words, there's some proper ways to say things and some improper ways. I'm going to say that I've accepted Christ into my life. Then, of course, he immediately added, you know, just he might be being recorded. Well, that's a true statement, but I know I have to say that, right? We have President George H.W. Bush, who, remember, who was his VP? Because he was Ronald Reagan's vice president. Then he became president with Dan Quayle. Remember that? I remember that. And you have George H.W. Bush and Dan Quayle being the first administration to invite the homosexuals to the White House to honor them. And if Christian leaders at that point didn't realize that they had just helped the enemy take over the country, boy, were they naive, huh? Were they buffoons or what? What's worse than a wolf? A wolf in sheep's clothing. What's worse than a wolf? A wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, Dennis Prager, he did make a good point this week. He said, you know, you have evil, and then you have evil done in God's name. So which, other things being equal, which is worse? And the evil done in God's name, that's way worse. And Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And lukewarm, I mean, remember Jonah was vomited out of the mouth of the whale? I could just see the whole Karl Rove and the whole, you know, each of the last Republican administrations all together being vomited out. Lukewarm. You say you are supportive of family values, the innocent child, marriage, religious liberties, which really means Muslim liberties. It certainly doesn't mean Christian liberties. And so then you fast forward from all that mess, for the Bush mess, right, to Mitt Romney, who's the father of homosexual marriage in America, and the enemy of Christian liberties, and who accomplished more to promote tax-funded abortion on demand. He did more to promote tax-funded abortion on demand and forcing ministries to adopt out kids to homosexuals and forcing pro-life hospitals to dispense an abortion pill and so on. Then what? What Democrat accomplished more than Mitt Romney? And so not being satisfied with putting an enemy of the gospel in the White House previously, they try to put the greatest friend that homosexuals had ever had as far as accomplishment goes into the White House. And the father of Obamacare, the father of the individual mandate, the father of tax-funded abortion on demand, late term, all that. And Focus on the Family says, well, we are so similar to Mitt Romney. And, you know, we like to document when Focus on the Family is wrong. But in that case, right, they say we are so similar to Mitt Romney. That's what their vice president of public policy said. We're so similar to Mitt Romney. Remember the U.S. Senate just last week, they voted to confirm the first openly homosexual judicial nominee to the federal bench. And of all the Republicans in the U.S. Senate, how many voted to confirm the homosexual? What percentage? Well, all of them, of course, of course, of course, of course, all of them, of course, of course, of course, of course, all. And so that's not a surprise, is it? Well, you've had the Bushes who have been substantively pro-homosexual, and Mitt Romney, who is the head of the party for a while, who's the father of homosexual marriage, and of course, every Republican U.S. Senate, it doesn't matter if his last name is Cruz or Paul or this or that, it doesn't matter. They all voted to confirm this openly homosexual. And how do you think he's going to rule on marriage? Well, it sort of hardly matters, right? Because we already have our Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, John Roberts, who overturned Colorado's Amendment 2 back when he volunteered to work with the homosexuals to do that. And that was to protect the public and families and Christian families from the homosexual juggernaut the agenda. And he did that, and then he effectively reinstated California's homosexual marriage. And he's the one who said that Obamacare is constitutional. And he said that Roe v. Wade is settled law. And you have our Christian leaders saying, well, George H.W. Bush, well, you know, Mitt Romney, well, John Roberts, and just defending and defending and defending. We had that at a pro-life gathering in Denver just a few months ago. And we had Hugh Hewitt in town, and he was speaking, and he talked about how great John Roberts is, you know. And so there was a Q&A session. I asked the first question. And just like 1 minute, you know, a polite question, I laid out all the attack on the family and the nation and the Constitution that we've had just from John Roberts. And Hugh Hewitt, in his talk, he was trying to spin every decision John Roberts made that stabs us in the back. He's trying to spin it and explain, well, I know you wouldn't like this, but he probably did it because of this, and he probably did it because of that. He probably did it because, you know, they're lawyers and you're not, and so you can't quite understand these, you know, complex issues. And I ask, perhaps, Hugh, isn't it perhaps just that John Roberts really is the enemy? Isn't it maybe that's why he stabbed morality in the back with these devastating rulings? And then we have, hey, remember I would have baked you a cake if I knew you were a murderer, I'd have baked you a cake. Is that how it went? That old classic song. If I knew you were a murderer, I'd have baked you a cake. Out of Sacramento, California, there's a judge who just issued, she sentenced a murderer. He was convicted of first degree murder. Sentenced him to 53 years to life in prison. And then sent the family of the victims out of the courtroom, locked the doors, and she officiated at a wedding for the murderer that she had just sentenced to his fiance. And then she went into her chambers and came out with a cake for them. Remember that song? If I knew you were a murderer, I'd have baked you a cake. Is that how it went? Something like that. Hey, we're out of time. Our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. For a Christian perspective on the news. God bless you.